The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
The program is Lyrics and Legends, and sometimes it's just good to do things the second time around. In the studio with me, I got my co-host, Buck Weatherby, and hey, Buck, you were here the first time these guys came.
Oh, yeah. You know, these guys have been on but with us before, and I am totally surprised that they came back.
You know, you ask and you receive. So we talked a couple of Amarillo friends to coming back down. We had a live program, did a couple of live programs,
yeah.
And these guys were kind enough to come down and do those. And our first victim tonight is going to be Randy Palmer. And Randy, man, it's good to have you in the studio with
us. It's good to be here.
You know, the first time we talked was mid-pandemic, and everybody was talking about all that crazy stuff going on. And we got that in the rearview mirror, hopefully, yeah. And things are starting to pick up again.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting to play out again, which is really fun. It is picking up.
And you guys, Randy, you've had a chance to work on a project during that time, so
yeah.
You've got a new CD out. We want to talk about that and play some music off of that.
Yeah, and Deeper Water. And it took the whole pandemic. We actually started right before the pandemic.
Really?
And it took the whole time so far to get this out. And so it releases on July 8th.
All right.
You know, one thing that I have found in communication with a lot of artists is there are some great albums coming out because everybody just sat around without anything to do during the pandemic. Man, they were writing songs and picking and grinning, and some wonderful material is coming.
Absolutely. I know it's probably not the best choice to release one right now, but there's a bunch of competition.
Yeah. We've actually had three, you two guys and then another young lady we interviewed from Elk City that's got a new CD out, and we're probably going to be talking to her very soon also. But hey, let's go back. Some of our people may not, I mean, it's been a while since you guys have been in. They might not know your story real well. Let's give them a little background on Randy Palmer and kind of catch everybody up so they'll know who you are, where you came from, and how you got into this music business.
Well, I am an Amarillo native, born and raised there. Moved away for about 10 years and came back 30 years ago. So had a little time in Nashville, a little time in Colorado, and then back to Texas.
All right. So what parts of Colorado?
Breckenridge.
Okay.
We lived right outside of Breckenridge, and I wish I had that house today.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You have a lot of houses and a lot of cars.
That's right. I could.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But I've been playing guitar. I actually learned from my older brother. He was taking guitar lessons, and he'd teach me what he learned, and that's how I learned to play when we were like in grade school. And ever since grade school, I've been writing lyrics to songs on the radio, and then as we got older, started writing original music. So I've been doing it a long time now.
In the studio with us also Joel White, and we're gonna do a program with Joel, but I wanted Joel to come in here so he could help me attack you from all sides. Joel.
You know, and Randy, I've known Randy for 45 years or so. Not real well up until the last several years, but 45 years ago, I knew Randy as a pretty good songwriter. And the thing about it, he doesn't like me to say this, but he's a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
But he was writing a lot of jingles and making some money at it, as best that I understood. And I thought, man, what a great gig. Write and play and get paid for it. Now, honestly, Randy's much better than just a jingle writer. I mean, he was writing jingles for banks and I don't know what all. And I knew him, from that. But I also knew of some songs that he had written and had seen him perform a time or two. And we were associated loosely with a organization in Amarillo at the time, was Young Life, and I knew him through that. But yeah, I knew a long time ago that Randy was a talented character.
You know, and the good company to be in, Buck Weatherby, because the only other jingle writer I know is Bill Mack from Shamrock, Texas.
Needs fine bread.
That's what I said.
A hometown boy.
That's right.
Tell him the Ronnie Millsap story about Bill Mack.
Oh, okay. So we got, Buck and I had the opportunity to interview Ronnie Millsap, which I thought was a really great honor.
Yeah.
You know, and so Bill Mack's like, you know, Shamrock, you know, and everybody across the country knows who Bill Mack is, and because of that, they may know where Shamrock is, and mm-hmm. we're interviewing Ronnie Millsap, and we go into this long spiel about we probably know somebody he's really good friends with, and, you know, we build this up to the point where we tell him that the guy that we're talking about from Shamrock is Bill Mack, and Ronnie says, okay, that was it.
Well, I Ronnie Millsap's probably not impressed by very much.
Yeah, 50 number one hits.
I had the pleasure of meeting him one time when we were producing a jingle in Nashville in a studio he owned. And he came in and sat in and just listened for a few minutes, and then he was gone. Yeah. But he was what a nice man.
Oh yeah, what a great gentleman.
Oh yeah.
You know, we feel honored to get to interview you guys, and then when we get to interview Ronnie Millsap, we were like, I was telling everybody.
What a huge talent. Yeah. What a huge talent.
Oh, yeah. Man,
really.
Hey, we're into this far enough that I want to do a song. Not sure where to go, Randy, but is there one that you want to start this thing off with?
Let's see. Why don't we start off with the title? I mean, not the title song, but the first song on the record.
Somewhere Down the Line?
Yeah.
In my dreams, I'm an engineer just rolling down this track, and I'm headed west across the Rio Grande, and I'm never looking back. Up into the Rockies, across the Great Divide, to the Badlands and the canyons where the outlaws go to hide. And that'd be somewhere down the line, across the Great Divide, where the dreams I dream, they come alive. Somewhere down the line, where the stars are shining bright, I'll be a hero or a villain, somewhere down the line. You know, in my dreams, I'm Honest Abe with a pen in my hand, and I'll craft those words that speak the truth about freedom in this land. And then I'll turn into Jesse James with blood as cold as ice, bandana stretched across my face and my gun at my side. And that'd be somewhere down the line, across the Great Divide, where the dreams I dream, they come alive. Somewhere down the line, where the stars are shining bright, I'll be a hero or a villain, somewhere down the line. You know, I could cross the Jordan into the promised land, or I could ride with Don Quixote, hold a million in my hand. It's all a great adventure, so saddle up and ride, somewhere down the line. It's hard to be a pioneer in a settled land, so I've been dreaming of homestead and heaven, and I'm making up a plan. I'm gonna sneak around these pearly gates, I know everything is true, like D.B. Cooper took the money and the parachute, and he's gone somewhere down the line, across the Great Divide, where the dreams I dream, they come alive. Somewhere down the line, where the stars are shining bright, I'll be a hero or a villain, somewhere down the line, I'll be a hero or a villain, somewhere down the line.
All right, that was great.
Oh, man, that was good.
Now, was that a personal experience or somebody you knew?
When I explain this song in like in a show or something, I always say this is a song about daydreams.
Okay.
Because I have a bad habit of spending a lot of time off in places I don't need to be mentally. And so that song is just a series of daydreams.
Oh.
The line about D.B. Cooper, that was
Yeah, he's fascinated.
I mean, there's a lot of people that under 30 or whatever that probably have no idea who that is. But
you play that song in front of a group of people and you know who's the ones looking at you like they don't get it. They were pre-DB, and then you got your post-DB.
Yeah. So some people that may not be familiar with that story, DB Cooper hijacked a plane and demanded a ransom, and they put the money on the plane, and he parachuted out of the back of the plane in the Northwest somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in the Northwest.
Never to be seen again.
They found some of the money, I think.
They did find a little bit of the money.
A little bit.
Stuck in a tree or something.
Enough to make them wonder if...
He's got to be in Mexico.
Yeah. There you go.
He's on a beach with a cerveza.
That may be another song.
Great song. That's a good way to start out the program. Our guest in the studio with us, Randy Palmer, and... the CD's just coming out. Matter of fact, we're getting a little head start on listening to this thing.
Yeah, it'll be released
July 8th.
July 8th. And this is a whole new experience this time. We're associated with a record label, have a promoter and a publicist working this thing.
Ooh.
And I've never been here before. So this feels really comfortable in here with people I know and I like. But I get these calls saying, this is so-and-so in Milwaukee, and we want to talk to you for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, start.
Hey, I wanted to mention, too, you had a really pretty strong review already from a critic, I guess you'd call him.
From Midwest Record.
Comparing maybe to Guy Clark or something.
I know it. When I read that, I was like going, they must have got the wrong record. But that's quite a compliment.
It is.
I'll frame that one.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that might even go on the headstone. So.
Yeah.
But, that was a good review I happened to catch. And anyway, so we were talking about maybe the new project. But go back to a little bit about kind of when you first really started playing guitar. Give us some of our listeners may be familiar with us, but we have a lot of new people that have tuned in since our network's expanded. And maybe talk about when you kind of first got into it. You said you played some with your brother.
My older brother, he taught me how to play guitar. And this is all the way back in grade school. The opportunity to play with a couple of friends that were better than I was. And Berkeley Dawson is one of the guys named. We started little bands during high school. I really took off into the John Denver, James Taylor, Michael Murphy then.
And
B.W. Stevenson and that crowd. And so that colored a lot about the way I wrote, you know. And I can still remember it was 1974 that I got my first Guy Clark record. So that was a treasure.
Oh, yeah.
And that really did impact the way I wrote from that point on. I started performing as early as anybody would pay attention to me. You know, every opportunity I got, I tried to be in front of people playing.
You remember the first time you got money to play at a gig?
I remember the first time I got money to do anything in front of people was at a party at my parents' house, and a guy paid me $5 to dance to Chubby Checker. He was drunk, most of them were, and I got out there as my little 8-year-old, 9-year-old self, and I shook all over that room. So
there you go.
I had $5.
Drunk people are good tippers sometimes. So.
I think I'll be a star. I can just hear you saying it, 8 years old.
I had an idea that's kind of what I wanted to play.
Right. I remember when I was about that age, I was into magic, so yeah. I would do these magic shows, you know, until I got locked up in some handcuffs I couldn't get out of. But anyhow, I had a lot of shirts. Seemed like my mom would tell, "Oh, just give him a shirt."
My middle daughter, as she was growing up, that's what she wanted to be, was a teenage magician. Yeah. That was her goal in life. When she was like 7, 8, 9, 10, yeah. she wanted to be good. And we bought magic tricks everywhere we went.
Oh, yeah. My mom really wanted me to be a musician. My mom played the piano great, you know. So that didn't work on me. And then she tried putting me in clarinet lessons. That didn't work. And somewhere in there was the accordion, and that required too many fingers going too many different ways. So I ended up being a drummer. Yeah. I did make my way through college playing drums.
That's great.
One of our favorite old familiar stories, our listeners are going to, they've told this before, but, you know, Buck's attempt to play the guitar, he got a guitar that was made in Mexico and couldn't
$35.
Play it. Hung it on the... hung it on the wall in the chicken house, and one of his dad's students that his dad mentored, raised pretty much, almost as one of the family, got that guitar and asked if he could use it, and of course his dad let him play it, and he went on to play with Merle Haggard. So it was Buck's guitar that got him a start. So.
If you can play a $35 Mexican guitar.
And he played it left-handed.
Yeah.
It had strings that were about a quarter of an inch above the frets.
Yeah, so one of those finger bleeder things. Man, we're enjoying this, visiting with Randy Palmer and talking about the new CD. We might want to get another song in here.
Okay.
And we probably want to do a couple off of the CD just because, man, it's so fun. I was talking to Randy a little bit about his earlier, but, you know, you get a lot of the instrumental stuff and whatnot in there. Do you want to do what you want to do one live here, and then we'll catch one?
Sure.
What are you going to do for us?
How about a song called "The Life They Are Living"?
All right.
This is written about a couple in Austin that I admire deeply. So,
okay.
Pretty self-explanatory. They are renters. They're not owners. They're a step ahead of a payday loan, and clinging to hopes they had when they threw their lives together. They each work two jobs, trade off kids, hungry mouths that must be fed, and they steal time they do not have to love their children. That's life. On its own terms, it moves so fast, it's all a blur, and they're safe in each other's arms, at least until the break of dawn. That's life. That's the life they're living. So they had a dream. There's a little shop where they could make the rules, be the boss with the banker. I checked that box that said to come back later. So they apply for every job that could change the road they're traveling on, but they always ask, have you broke the law? Were there consequences? And that's life. On its own terms, it moves so fast, it's all a blur, and they're safe in each other's arms, at least until the break of dawn. That's life. That's the life they're living. They need a clapboard house painted white with a fenced-in yard. Kids play outside and a steady 8 to 5 that covers their expenses
from where they stand, that's a long way. From where they stand, that's a long way. From where they stand, that's a long way in the distance. Life on its own terms, it moves so fast, it's all a blur, and they're safe in each other's arms, at least until the break of dawn. That's life, that's the life they're living. That's the life they're living.
Well, programs, lyrics, and legends in the studio with us, Randy Palmer from Amarillo, Texas. Buck Weatherby from right here.
Oh, yeah.
At the World Headquarters.
Such a night, such a night.
Yeah.
And then, all this entertainment right here in World Headquarters.
We're excited about this. Oh, we got stuff going on down here in Shamrock. We got a new building we've been working on for a while, but it's making progress. So we'll be the live music capital of Wheeler County probably before this is all over. So
might even stretch into Gray County.
Hey, there you go. Also with us, Joel White, and just having a lot of fun. Is there anything you want to tell on your old buddy Randy, Joel? Maybe
there's a world of stuff I'd like to tell, but I better not,
because he's going to be on.
I'll tell you about Randy. One of the good things. To me, Randy's a mentor. He's been an example to me of how you do this deal. He makes a move, and I see it, and then I go, okay, I'm going to do that. He's been at it a whole lot longer than I have, and he's a pretty good example to follow, I think. Randy, I appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
You've also been involved with the Kerrville
Folk Festival
for a while. Talk about, man, that's always intrigued me. Talk about that a little bit.
Kerrville Folk Festival for me in 2011 sent in a submission for their songwriting contest called New Folk Songwriting Competition, and they take 800 submissions and they whittle it down to, at that point it was 32, and they invite you to come to the festival and you play your two songs you submitted, and so I was lucky enough to be in the 32, and I have never ever in my life played for a more encouraging audience than there. I mean, just stand up and do two songs, and there's 1,200, 1,400 people, whatever. You had the feeling that every single one of them was sitting there just praying that you did the best job you possibly can. Life-changing in a lot of ways. I had kind of put away music while we tried to raise three girls, and so when I did the Kerrville Folk Festival, I thought, I'm back.
Oh yeah,
I'm going for it. I'm going to do this thing, and it's been fun. I had the opportunity to be one other time to be a finalist there, and never were in the top six that they picked for. They called the New Folk. I was always a number seven. So, and they have and it's a tradition there Kerrville Folk Festival. The week after they do the New Folk competition, they have a night for, they call it Club Seven. You go up and you sing a song, and you have to be a person who wasn't a top six to play, and people come from all over the country just to do Club Seven, and you play a song and everybody at once goes, he's a winner, and you'll hear some of the best songs of the week there from the songwriters from all across the country
and also something that you didn't mention is the alumni of the winners are people like Guy Clark and Lucinda Williams Lyle Lovett and BWC. It's a list of who's who's
Nancy Griffith that
got started there. At Steve Earle was one of them. Just one after another.
And you made a lot of good relationships there too. I know.
Yeah.
You, you hooked us up with Bob Livingston, and that, yeah, that was a product of that.
I've met an enormous my friendship count is just overloaded from Kerrville. I mean, it's just it's a special place and a special time. For 18 days, they create an environment that you just feel like you're on everybody's side, and it looks like a bunch of old hippies running around and stuff, and
getting older.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a I encourage people to take a chance and do something like that sometime. Go to a music festival, camp out, get dirty, listen to some great music.
Absolutely.
Now, do you go back every year?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I always go for at least a week.
Oh. Yeah,
so. And,
now, they had to cancel that the last...
Last two years. No folk festivals.
Or 21.
This year, the end of May and 1st of June, it was absolutely like a celebration to all those old hippies coming back together for one more time. Yeah. So it was great. It was great. I took my wife. The second time I was in New Folk, she came to see me because we knew kind of what we were getting into at that point. And she came, and that night it rained cats and dogs 2 or 3 inches at Kerrville, and the creeks rose, and nobody could leave the campground because of they were impassable. And so my wife spent the night with my little two-man tent, when my little Walmart blow up the air bed.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. And a worst night of my marriage.
And you're still together?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, we're still together. We're still together. But the next morning, I got a chance to open the tent flap and see some guys walking. It was Memorial Day morning, and they had on their vests with medals, and they were carrying a flag. And this is like 4:35 in the morning. These guys are out there honoring somebody that they really loved, and had a great song come out of that too. I mean, that back a few years ago.
Right. Hey, we do want to play one off of the CD. I want to play a cut off the CD just so our listeners will get a little.
Yeah.
Flavor of how the CD sounds. Is there one?
How about a Summer of 65?
Summer of 65. Okay, give us a little background on this, and then
one day I was being disciplined, and I sat down and I was going to write a song that day, and so I opened up a dictionary and I put my finger in it and I looked to see what word I landed on. It was the word naive, And I thought, that's me. That just describes me to a T. And so I started writing notes about when was the most naive point in my life. And I came up with fifth grade. And that was 1965. And so I wrote the song around
All right, we're going to listen year. To Summer of 65 off the CD. The CD is entitled Deeper Water. Randy Palmer, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more Lyrics and Legends.
Hear the snap of sheets hanging on the line as a warm breeze sweeps the yard. Fills this place with the smell of clean. I hear the beating of my heart as I lay here. Fresh cut grass and watch the clouds drift by. You know life was sweet and it was just for me. Summer 65. Well, I still hear that womp as that ball hit my glove. I was squatting behind home plate, two outs, three runs on. Oh, the count was full at 3-2 and the air is electrified. Yeah, you fanned that flame, we won that game in the summer of 65. We were innocent, we were so naive, we did not understand Vietnam, Martin Luther King. The world was spinning faster, and our days were slipping by, and our questions started mounting in the summer of 65. Thank you.
1985 was the year of Watts and the Edmund Pettus Bridge. We all sang we shall overcome, not knowing what it meant. But it made the old folks nervous, it put fear in their eyes. I guess the status quo was DOA in the summer '65. Yeah, we played moonlit games of kick the can and sneaking in the dark, fighting off the Viet Cong invading the neighbor's yard. With a feeling, it's with me in the stillness of the night. We started playing war a whole lot more in the summer of '65. We were innocent, we were so naive, we did not understand Vietnam, Martin Luther King. And the world was spinning faster, and our days were slipping by, and our questions started mounting in the summer of '65. Yeah, so here I am, I'm an older man, I just turned 65. And if I could, I'd like to leave something good behind. Maybe for my grandkids, turn darkness into light. But the best I can do is to give to them a summer like 65. We were innocent, we were so naive, we did not understand Vietnam, Martin Luther King. And the world was spinning faster, and our days were slipping by, and our questions started mounting in the summer of '65. Yeah, the questions started mounting back in the summer of '65.
All right, the program's Lyrics and Legends, and we're having a lot of fun, kind of a redo. Oh, in the studio with me, Buck Weatherby, and we invited some friends down from Amarillo, Randy Palmer. Buck, tell me what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah, you know, and like we said before, they've been here before, and I was shocked they wanted to come back, you know.
You're the only folks that'll have us.
Hey, we didn't tell them we were catering, too. We got Subway.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll feed you.
And they brought some Soda Pop or something in a bottle there. I forget what it was. Anyhow, that song we just heard, can I relate back to that? Now, that is on this new CD coming out.
Yes, it is.
July the
8th.
July the 8th. Is there going to be a big celebration up in Amarillo or anything?
Actually, I'm going to be in the mountains of New Mexico. So it'll be a quiet release on my part, but we are going to have something in August, a release party in Amarillo.
And then
probably do another release event in Houston and maybe one in Austin, too.
Yeah.
So New Mexico seems to be a favorite place for you.
New Mexico is it's a piece of heaven.
Yeah,
it just really is. The mountains of northern New Mexico have been a huge part of my life since 1968.
Now, you just returned from up there, and I know they've had a lot of fires. Were they near?
The Eagle Nest, about 15, 16 miles away, was the closest they came to us this year. But that's close enough. I mean, that's enough to really... I made a trip up there once and stripped the we actually have two cabins because my wife, I met her up there, and her family had a cabin and my family had a cabin. And so now, as time's gone on, we now are maintaining two cabins.
So if y'all get to fussing and fighting, you have a...
That's right. That's right. That's
right. I thought you were going to tell a snoring story about your wife got her own cabin because she didn't want to hear you snore.
She might agree with you.
Well, this is so much fun visiting with you guys. And we've heard some really good music off the new CD so far. Heard some good stories about the way some of these came to be.
That's one thing about these two guys, Gary, that I remember from last time. Everything they do, the guitar, when they're picking and grinning, there's a story goes now, with it.
You know, one thing, Buck, I noticed, that I kind of wish we had video in here sometime. He's got more capos than I mean, yeah. He's got some that covers three strings or four strings or whatever.
You know, and I was writing it. I got in a rut writing songs, and they were all sounding alike. So I started playing with these capos to come up with different sounds, and now I can't seem to write anything without them. I'm back to do everything in standard tuning in the first position. Disciplining You're myself,
forcing again. Yourself to go back to old school.
Yeah.
Talk about the process you go through when you do you have a schedule where you say I'm going to ride on Monday, or is it
not really? During the normal time of the year, the fall through spring, when you're at home mostly, I tend to take at least an hour a day to concentrate on writing, and that could be in the morning early. I mean, I'm an early riser, so a lot of times I'll be playing that when my wife wakes up, and I'll have had an hour or two playing, and then again. As soon as she goes to bed at night, I'd slip in my little room and start playing.
Now, for our listeners to kind of get an idea of, you're a painter, so your schedule's kind of seasonal work, maybe a little more, or maybe not.
Yeah, my dad was a painting contractor, and I grew up with a brush in my hand, and over the years I've done all kinds of things, but I've always. If I need a little money on the side or something, I'll go get a paint job, and I'll do it. And that's this last since 2011, I've just kind of kept a few paint jobs going, and not. I don't want to get seriously into the business because I don't want to be tied down to it, but I want to feed my family. You know, so
absolutely.
So
that explains a lot about Randy, Gary. Had a paintbrush in his hand and smelling paint fumes all his life.
That's right.
You're going to mute me? Or edit me? Okay. I'm getting over this cough, but I think I'm going to live. So, hey, I think we want to listen to another song, but I kind of like when you pick them here in the studio. So
okay, we'll be glad to do one. I was thinking we're talking about the cabins, and
the two cabins or just one cabin?
just this one's just the one my dad, my brother, and I built, 1968. And I was with my dad earlier today, and I was asking what he remembers about it, and he said he just remembers we didn't have electricity and we didn't have cured lumber. We had he said squirrel tails were hanging out of that lumber. So,
so this was in Eagle's Nest?
Yeah, an Eagle Nest. Oh, okay. So and this is about that process of building that cabin. In 36 feet up in New Mexico, down a one-lane dirt track, that's where you'll find me. So welcome to my home. You know, a son and a father, we built on this land. When I was 13 years old, using 20 penny nails, all driven by hand. So welcome to my home. You know, pieces were sinking. I'm here to say I've never found it down the dirt track road. I need air that is clear.
the cool mountain breeze. So welcome to my home. Milky Way does shine here at the top of the world, and the river she runs wild as I hold my lady, my girl. Hey, 636 feet, that's heaven, that's New Mexico. You know I sleep so soundly when the fire's burning low. So welcome to my home. You know peace is worth seeking, I'm here to say. I never found it down a black top road. I need air that is clear and a cool mountain breeze. So welcome to my home. Yes, welcome to my home.
Still have that cabin?
Yes.
Well, kind of a related story. I have remodeled the house that my parents bought when I was a year old. And you talk about a bunch of ghosts flying around in there every once in a while, you know, in my imagination.
Yeah. I'll tell you one even better than that. Jim helped his daddy build the cabin he was born in.
So. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Amazing.
I don't think two and two adds up to four on that,
Gary. I'm
always
going to try to one-up you. Sorry. It doesn't have to be true. It just has to be better than your story.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about songwriters. A good story is usually a lie anyway. and that's why Texas produces some of the greatest songwriters in the world, because we're pretty darn good liars.
Yeah. And one of the songs you've got we're going to do on your program kind of talks about being from Texas. And
yeah, we'll do that one.
All right. Okay.
We'll do that one.
All right. Yeah. I think we've done it before, but it's one of my favorites.
You know, and songwriters hardly ever tell the whole truth. They try to, but they never quite get it all the way out. And that song particularly, it's really not 8,636 feet. The elevation of the cabin is 8,700 and 36 feet. It just doesn't roll off your tongue as well when you're trying to sing it.
Yeah, that's literary life.
Yeah,
there you go. You can walk down the hill a little way, make the story true. We get together so often and play with some of my friends, and the guys I play with, we've been friends since elementary school, basically. And so we'll, like last night, we were sitting out by the lake playing guitars, and all those old stories from 30 or 40 years ago, they always, the second or third time you tell them, they get a little better. And then after 30 or 40 years, they get
really good.
Yeah, they get really good.
You've heard that line about all my rowdy friends. That's scary right there.
There's a lot of truth to that, too. So.
How long does it, you got an average length of time, you get an idea for a song, how long?
How long does it take to write the song?
Yeah.
They can be as short as an hour, and it can be as long as 10 years. I mean, I've got examples of both.
Right.
Yeah. So there's really not. But I do have a pattern. I have to sit down and play for about an hour before I'm really ready to write.
Okay.
And it takes me about an hour of burn-in time.
What do you play?
Play guitar.
I know that. You didn't bring the flute.
I would have said the same thing. It's a guitar, buddy.
No, I mean, what kind of music do you play? Songs that you know, or your stuff?
Mostly old songs of mine.
Okay.
And occasionally I'll break into some old Michael Murphy or Jerry Jeff Walker or something like that.
Okay.
Those always kind of get me going.
All right.
Yeah, Jerry Jeff Walker is one of our favorites. If anybody listens to the station, I get text every now and then. It's like, this is the only station around here that plays Jerry Jeff Walker. I'm like, well,
yeah.
On purpose, yeah. But that's all my fault. So I got to take credit for something. So. But in the studio with us, we want to come back around here and introduce Randy Palmer. We were listening to cuts off of his new CD that's soon to be released. The CD is called Deep Water. And how'd you come up with the title to the...
It's another song about the mountains. Deeper Water is, and I didn't even think about it at the time. The first album that we put out in 2014 with this producer was called Waterline, and this one's this is called Deeper Water. You know, and the producer on this is Merle Brigante, which he is a class act. He's a Texas country music producer of the year last year, and he's a piece of work.
Well, tell us about his deep roots. This guy's got connections that you can't imagine.
Oh yeah.
If you remember back in the great folks scare of the late 60s, or a group called Sunshine Company. Merle was the original part of that group, and he was the drummer. He learned to play drums like in a week, so because he told somebody he could, and he had to live up to it, and he's made a profession out of being a drummer and a producer ever since. But then he went on to he was drafted from that group into Loggins Messina, and Gary Morris, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Pure Prairie League. And he played with all those bands.
And, oh my goodness!
And,
oh my.
So he's got
been around. He's been around a little bit.
Yeah.
And the people he knows and the people that he gets to play on our albums are phenomenal. They are phenomenal musicians.
So how'd you get connected with him?
A good friend of mine named Charlie Stewart he's an interesting character all by himself, but he told me, he said, I think you and Merle might make a good team together, so I'm going to give you his number. And so I called him up and went out to a studio, and he did his Dog and Pony Show, all the things he had done, and I did my songs and see if he thinks there's any possibilities there, and we've been best of friends now since 2013.
Wow.
And this is your second album.
Yeah, second album with Merle.
Wow.
We talk like two or three times a week anyway. And just
that's
about
awesome.
Life and about songs and about things that are going on in the studio and stuff there. And he's got his own Wrecking Crew. I don't know if you remember the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, yeah.
But Merle's developed a stable of players that are just second to none. You know, they're great, and because of the digital age we're in, they can be anywhere in the country. So I mean, if he needs a steel guitar part, he'll have Dave Perlman play it in L.A. And which you've seen Dave play with the Eagles and bands like that.
Oh
And if he needs a piano part, it's Peter Wozner in Nashville. And if he needs a guitar part, it's usually Michael Dorian up in Michigan.
Wow!
And, so these guys they're great players, great players. And,
you know, you bring up the subject of the guitar player out in L.A. does his part, and it comes in, and they incorporate it into the production. And there's a kind of a trend that I've noticed of in studio live recordings.
Yeah.
Where they just get in the studio with the whole band and they do it right there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe take several takes to get it exactly right. But there's a lot of new releases coming out. They're calling them in-studio live releases.
You know, and that's really the way Waterline was done, was we tracked it, but we tracked it as many people as we could at once, and which is really fun to play. on that, and it's a different feel. You get a different texture to a record that way, and I really like the live stuff, and I think if I do another one, that's kind of where I'll be going. Either that or very slim down, just to see how I can do it.
And,
So you go into the studio, and is it just you and the guitar? And then he fits.
And during the pandemic, it was basically just me and a guitar sitting out there, getting it all together. Yeah, and then
you send it.
Then we start building the tracks around it. Merle usually will play drums on it, and then we'll have the bass part next, and the songs voice themselves a lot of times. Like it's not like you make it sit down and make a hardcore plan. You let the song speak for itself as you go along, and each of the players becomes a creative comrade sort of in the process, and everybody adds their stuff, and some people will send in 4 or 5 tracks to give you different takes,
a little variety.
Some will just give you one, and then you have to be a good communicator to go back and say we need a little bit here or there, we need to change this or that, or could you give me some more of that,
You know, and more than anything, these players, what they do is they listen to the song, they listen to the lyrics, and they play to that song. And they don't need to showboat.
Oh, no.
They play to that song, and they come up with some stuff that you never thought about.
Yeah.
And you go, we can use that. I love that. Or, you know, maybe I don't like this, but as you go, that's what happens. And you'll hear a piano part, and then you go, you know what we need now?
Yeah,
we need a steel, and then Merle is phenomenal.
He's got a great imagination
putting this stuff together, and in communicating to the artists that are playing on your album, it, you know, 3 little old short words. I need long, low tones, yeah. And that's all the instruction he'll give them, or something similar to that. And they come up with stuff that's just great.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe can we sneak deeper water in here?
Sure. And do it live, or you want it off the record?
Yeah, I think
Randy,
we ought to do it off.
Kind of talked about how these
probably ought to do it off the
together.
Record. I think.
Let's
yeah.
Do it off
that
the
way,
record.
Everybody would get a feel for what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more right after this.
Straight up, 6 a.m., Mountain Standard Time. We were idling at the gate. We were first in the line. I was 13 years old. And he was shouting stories about the ones that got away and the ones that are bound for glory. Old Bill Gallagher had a knowing smile when he opened up that gate. He said, $3 for that kid, $6 cause you shame. I see you got a new fishing buddy, I hope you teach him right. M.B. grinned, said, hey Bill, we're having fish tonight. Said, cast your line into deeper water and leave the past behind. Welcome to the wonder of an ancient love affair between a fish and a fisherman. Chance if you hope to reel her in. it bounced around that lake to a secret cove that MB called his seat of grace. It was on that sacred shore he imparted this wisdom about love and war, good and bad, living and fishing. He said, cast your line into deeper water, leave the past behind, welcome to the wonder of an ancient love affair between a fish and a fisherman. You got to take a chance if you hope to reel her in. Fifty years down this road, I'm still coming back. Got my grandson at my side, and we're bouncing down this track to a secret cove, sacred shore. I know what I'll say about the ones that are bound for glory and the ones that get away. So you cast your line into deeper water, leave the past behind, welcome to the wonder of an ancient love affair between a fish and a fisherman. To take a chance if you hope to reel her in, reel her in, yes, reel her in.
All right, the program's Lyrics and Legends. Man, we've had a good time. I'm called on my friend Buck Weatherby to come up here. Actually, I forgot to call Buck. That's a true story. Buck says, I hear we're doing a show tonight. And I'm like, yeah. He said, Jim told me. He got you covered. Yeah. So
I said, is the pay the same?
Yes.
He said, yeah, nothing.
Yeah. No, you get a Subway sandwich.
You get a Subway sandwich, yeah. And we're adding another zero to your paycheck.
Yeah. So, in the front of it. Yeah.
So we talked to some friends of ours from Amarillo who we just love getting together with and hadn't done it in a while. Talked Randy Palmer into coming down and talking about his new CD project, Deeper Water. The song we just heard is the title cut from that CD. Randy, this is the part of the program we call the Department of Shameless Plugs. So you got 3 minutes here, and you can talk about how much you love your wife or your dog or your CD or your three daughters or what. Well, whatever you want to.
You named off some good stuff.
Snoring cabin.
Yeah, yeah.
Snoring cabin. Yeah.
Yeah, I do love my wife. I mean, she is absolutely amazing. Just she puts up with me, and that's an amazing thing. I have a great dog, a really good dog.
That's awesome.
A great dog named Sadie, and she loves the mountains too.
This isn't Sadie's Rangers, or
no?
Oh, okay.
No.
Get my bands and dogs off.
She is an Australian Shepherd that got into a bunch of ticks down around outside of Kerrville, and so now she's a shaved Australian Shepherd, and so she looks pretty funny. She really is pretty funny. But in order to plug myself, I need to tell you two or three things. One is, please listen for the album. It's coming out July 8th. It'll be on all the streaming platforms. It'll be out for the radio stations to play. You can find it anywhere. And you can always find me at randypalmermusic.com. And thank you very much for given us a fair listen, and we appreciate it when somebody has something to say. Leave me a comment there on the website, and I will get back to you. And I always appreciate critiques.
All right.
That's a great album, folks.
Yeah, you need to check it out. Coming out July 8th, and it's probably going to be on all the streaming services.
Berkeland Records. That's something else I should say.
Okay.
Yeah, Berkeland Records. Yeah.
All right. So be looking for this. You're going to enjoy it. And, guys, we want to thank you for coming all the way down to the world headquarters. That's W-H-I-I. Spell it.
World.
World. Anyway. And thank you guys for coming in, man. We look forward to seeing you again really soon.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.